Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today on a Friday, June the 25th. Oh, my goodness. And what a great weekend it's going to be. You know what? Because I'm preaching this weekend. And I love to preach.
And it's Friday.
And I'm preaching on the soul of a hero at Northview Church. And you could watch that now or later. Northviewchurch.us.
I think it's U.S., yeah. Or we'll have it on the YouTube channel as well.
Anyway, I love preaching, love doing that. If you need me to preach for you, I'm cheap. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need someone to preach to you, or something even more compassionate and wonderful and loving, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Alice Benton is in the studio, Dr. Alice Benton.
Folks.
Alice, you doing all right?
I sure am.
And Becky Brown is sitting next to me in our studio here in Carmel, Indiana. And we're so glad that you're with us. Now, look. Summer is a great time, and we're kind of a third through it, but maybe even for some who go back to school really early, like a half. Be sure that you don't neglect creating memories. One of the things that my good buddy Dave Stoop did is he created memories with his kids and grandkids. He took every one of them on a really wonderful, wonderful trip, and I've taken mine on ministry trips with me too. And I remember going to, I've said this to so many people, we were in Petra, Dave Stoop, James, myself on that trip, Carter and I in Australia, Madeline, Ireland, so many fun, amazing places. But just 20 minutes away from your house to go to putt-putt golf is a memory that they'll never forget. And I heard someone, when they heard about all the things that Dave had done, they kind of were critical, saying, yeah, I guess he spent a lot of money to do it. Well, look, I think he had some money, but the point is, if he just kept it all, he's not here anymore.
Right,
And so we do need to be saving and all that, need to be responsible, but not to the extent that we miss out on some of the great fundamental memories.
One of my favorite routines that Dave had was Sunday dinners with his family. It was a thing. And I know that doesn't require you to travel, but maybe some of you need to create some routines in your life, in your family. It can be, you know, something as simple as on Fridays we're going to make pizza. Today's Friday, so you can start today. And you just begin to do that, and over time, they have that memory, they have the connection, and it's invaluable. It's worth more than money.
Speaking of Dave, you know, I spent more time with him as an adult than I did my dad, and had more dinners and flew and worked and spoke and all that. And the word irreplaceable, I really think I understand now more than ever what it's like when someone's spouse dies or it's just there is no Dave around, and I'm taking interviews. I'm interviewing people to be the next Dave, but man,
there won't be anybody that can fill his shoes.
It is so tough to be without somebody you love and care about, and who was so good to you. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back, all the way to Idaho. We're going to go and talk to Trevor when we come back from this break. If you need some help, we're always here, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And when you help us with a gift of any amount, we will send you the last book I wrote with Dr. Dave Stoop, The Soul of a Hero. Oh, it's a really good one. Seven different dimensions of real godly manhood and what it means to be a real hero. You can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's take that break and come right back with more of Dr. Alice Benton. Becky Brown, Steve Arterburn here. Hope that this is going to be one amazing weekend for you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I did say we'd go to Trevor.
Yeah.
Trevor, you are now on with Dr. Alice Benton, Steve Arterburn here. And how do you pronounce the town you're in, Trevor?
It's Rathdrum. Rathdrum.
Interesting. All right. Never heard of it, but I've heard of you because you've been holding a long time. So thank you for doing that. How can we help you today?
I will try to be quick and concise as possible with some background and then ask a quick question. I found my grandfather's porn when I was 5. I've had sexual integrity problems since then. I've grew up in a violent home. A score is 6. And never felt loved except for by my grandfather.
Mm.
Died when I was 13. So I've always been a loner and been kind of, you know, kind of just never really trusted people. That have been abandonment issues. My wife, she says that you know, she was raped for one by her cousin, and then ended up being that her boyfriend, and the story grew where it was up to 7 of his friends, and they would do it almost on a weekly basis. For a few years, even into the first year of our marriage. I didn't know a lot of this until that year 12.
She was being raped into your marriage every week. Is that what you're saying?
It was about a year into our marriage when we got married. I got stationed in South Carolina. Then I ended up stationed in California, in Korea, and she moved back home. And I didn't know all this stuff was continuing to happen while we were dating. And then it happened while I was in Korea for that year, apparently. She said some other things about her best friend's brother doing stuff to her. So she seems to have a really bad history with that kind of stuff. And when we got married, she did a complete 180 where she was presented herself one way, and then as soon as we got married, she really closed off and pushed me away and wouldn't communicate. I didn't find a lot of the stuff out until about year 12 of our marriage, and right now we just celebrated our 22nd year.
Wow.
My daughter, when I was stationed in California for my last duty station before I retired, I was separated from them for 3 years. I left when she turned 12. She's getting ready to turn 16 this July. And I found that she had been hiding on social media, had a couple of different identities in different subgroups, was telling a bunch of different lies, trying to get attention, got into this very inappropriate relationship with a 20-year-old, sending him nude pictures.
All right, Trevor, this is horrible. I'm so sorry, and obviously you feel really burdened by this. I think anybody would. But you called us. You wanted our help. What is it we could help you with, my friend?
One of the basically right now is we're all in counseling now, but until we get traction for this, I need to know how I can properly respond to my wife. Constant attacks, pounding, needing to be in control of everything, has to be right about everything. I've got no patience anymore. I'm a very angry, hurt, and resentful individual. And unfortunately, I've also tied up my entire identity into her.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel completely lost. So I need to know what is the best way? Well, I'm gaining traction, and we're all three of us gaining traction in counseling to respond to her.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to help you here.
Responding with anger.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you called, because there is hope here, and it's a really sad, sad tragedy that you're describing.
I want to clarify, Trevor, when you say you were in counseling, does that mean everybody has their own counselor, or is there family counseling? What's that look like for you guys?
It's individual counseling right now. My daughter has her own, my wife has her own, and I just got hooked up with somebody for myself.
Okay.
We tried marital counseling, but the counselor that we got hooked up with said that neither one of us was ready.
Okay.
To do marital.
Well, the hard part is that I think that you guys need to be in the same room. And when you say getting traction, what I want you to consider, Trevor, this isn't going to go away real quick. There's some really, really deep wounds mm-hmm. that are going to take some time. And the traction, I want you to kind of reframe that to, we're doing what we can right now to calm things down so that we can move forward. Because traction would, indicate that, there's a plan, and you guys are, the house is on fire. You're feeling it. You're on every level. And I think it can be really powerful to have a family counselor with all of you together to help with this. Now, I'm not saying to the exclusion of individual counseling, but that's just a thought I have. Alice, I'm sure you have something.
I have two suggestions to make, Trevor. I suspect you're a man that tries very hard not to cry, and yet I heard your tears twice during our call. I wonder if your wife has not seen your tears, enough of your tears. And so on the one hand,
no.
I want you to try to be vulnerable with her, even if it's about your grandfather, bringing that grief to her, because I think she sees your hard outer shell. Your tough outer shell, because you've had to be incredibly tough. And she doesn't get to see the soft, sad heart. She sees both. Okay, keep
cry a lot.
Good. Keep bringing it to her intentionally. Bring your vulnerability to her. And then at a time when you and she are not arguing, I want you to admit to her, I cannot control my anger. And we keep getting into arguments. So to protect us both, when your voice is raised, I'll need to step away to help us both, and I will come back when we have calmed down. Set up that standard, but blame yourself mainly, and choose to protect the relationship that way.
What do you think of that advice? Do you think you could do that? I think that would be so helpful if you could. Do you think you can?
It's very difficult, but yes, I believe I can do that.
There's another part to this. There's another part to this, Trevor. Your relationship, your marriage, has been interrupted multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, when you said you guys were married 22 years, I kind of gasped because, you've been married 22 years, but I wonder in those 22 years, how many actual days have you been in the same house together where you've been able to be fully present with each other, to be fully honest with each other? And you both have so much wounding that I would venture to say that would be a very minimal, it'd probably be equal to about 2 or 3 years out of 22 due to your service and all of that. And we appreciate, I'm so grateful for your sacrifice for the country, but I also want you to begin to shift your attention back home. You've got this daughter who's in real, real serious trouble mm-hmm. right now, and she needs her dad to love her in a way that she's not going to look for that somewhere else, that she's going to see her value and her worth in your eyes. And now that you're present, that's going to be impactful. But I think part of the reason why there's so much tension in the home is because you've been gone. And, where do you fit in here? And just trying to, that's why I think a family therapist that can kind of look at those dynamics can really make a huge difference.
Okay, so there is evil in this world, Trevor. And that evil has landed in your home, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's beyond comprehension, the damage, the hurt, and the pain. So the first thing is you need to realize anybody that I know of in your situation would be devastated. Mm-hmm. Injury upon injury, and the revelation about your wife, even if that had been in her past, that would be one thing. That it has been in your marriage is something else. I would just encourage you to be sure you have the best counselor you could possibly have to help you do two things. Number one, never blame yourself. And number two, help you have the patience for anything good that's going to happen to unfold. We live in a fast-paced world. We pace in front of the microwave. We want it all done quickly. And it's this, like Becky said, it's not going to happen. So if you can get out of your shame, if that person can help you not see that any of this is your fault, if you can develop this patience and you go to work on you, there could be a really good outcome. Because I want to tell you, when your wife is doing the things that she's doing and saying to you, there is no set of words or phrases or anything that's going to help her, change her, make it better. You really do have to remove yourself, get yourself together, and then come back in.
If you have not dealt with the healing of your sexual addiction, I would encourage you to go to Every Man's Battle, to be in that company of men who are going to be supportive. But also, Every Man's Bible would be good for you as well, Trevor. It is multifaceted, the healing process.
Yeah.
But there is hope. We just have to enter in a cautious kind of, okay, this is what we've got to do now. And
Well, Trevor, I am praying for you right now, and I ask everybody else to pray for you. And I just hope, well, you know, even if you, that you'd come to one of our intensives so that you'd have some other really great men on your team through sustained victory and stuff. So Every Man's Battle might be a thing, or emotional freedom might be a thing.
Or even for his wife. Emotional freedom. Yeah. Or intimacy in marriage. Come and join us in D.C. for that. I mean, it's just, there's so many things that you can do, but it's not going to be quick.
No.
Steve, would you send him Soul of a Hero? Because his family needs him to be a hero, and he's got an impossible task. But with God, with the information in your book, I think that will really set him up to be the hero for his wife and daughter.
All right, Trevor. And I really do think, Becky, you've got the thing that would have the most potential if she would go, if they went to the Intimacy and Marriage Intensive in July. I just, let us talk to you off the air and see what might be possible. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about anything that we do here. How about we go to Debbie, New Albany, Indiana. Hi there. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
How can we help today?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you all for taking my call. I'm calling about an issue with my younger sister who is battling with drugs. And she has two teenage children and a dog. And she has just been evicted from her home again and is living in her car and is wanting to live with my husband and myself in our home with our family. And we are, we've taken her in before and we've helped her throughout all the years that she's been on things, and she's been sober for, I think, the longest, a year and a half. And, but anyway, I'm just torn on how you reconcile that with being a believer, and helping people. And when do you, you know, when is it enabling?
Yeah. Well, you know, we want you to help her. And kind of what you're hinting at is, what is the best way to help?
Right.
Sometimes it is bringing a person into your home because they have the kids and stuff and they have a plan and you can see they were on the right track, or you have some things that they agree to.
Right.
And sometimes it's enabling and it just prolongs the inevitable and they get sicker. So we'll try to help you make the right approach to this so that it is helpful and not harmful. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break and we'll come right back. The soul of a hero, that is our gift to you. When you support us, you can get it with a gift of any amount. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and this is a tricky situation, Debbie. How old are the kids?
16 and 14.
And are they living in the car with her?
Well, she just got evicted yesterday. They went to my other sister's home last night. Mm-hmm. The kids did.
Where's their dad?
And he's passed away.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tough. Well, the thought was...
And his side of the family... I'm sorry, his side of the family has, you know, taken them in before. It's just, you know, this is a repeated pattern.
Sure. So, the thought would be...
I want to do the right thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you putting a using addict in your house is helpful.
Is she currently using, Debbie?
She said it was a month ago.
Okay, and then the second question would be, when is the last time you went to one of your recovery meetings?
Oh, and she's not.
Okay, so right. So you say, well, you know, it's been a month. I don't know what that's like, but mm-hmm. You're not doing anything. You've just stopped for a month, and recovery is more than just stopping. It's growing, being the mom you want
right.
to be. So when you put together a really good program so that you never fall back into this again, then we could talk about you coming here. If you aren't willing to do that, we would love to help with the kids. Absolutely.
And I think it should be separated. Debbie, I don't know how much conversation the whole family has had about this. You know, you said your other sister's taken in the two kids. I think there needs to be a mm-hmm. long-term plan for them that is separate from her. Because it's okay. so unfair to them to have this back and forth, back and forth. And obviously, mom's got a problem and mom needs help. And so,
right.
You know, let's get them some stability. It's not like we're going to keep them from her, so to speak, but she's struggling. She needs probably inpatient treatment for 90 days or more. And then once she gets mm-hmm. out, how does she get reacclimated into life? Because yeah. that's the other part of addiction that is so hard for folks is it's one thing to be in treatment. You know, you got the routine, you got the program, you got the people around you. But to come back out in the regular world, it is mm-hmm. tough. And so we got to, for success for her, for longevity, and now that we know that their dad is gone, we got to fight for her until she can fight for herself.
I would want a meeting of all the adults that have been willing to take the kids in to yeah. determine together who has the most stability, the most ability to keep the kids long term and give them a base. And then the rest of you decide, then how do we pitch in to help with the one home they'd be able to stay in the longest?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very, very good idea. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think it'll help you maintain some healthy boundaries. Yes.
Off air, you mentioned something about calling Child Protective Services if need be. Will you comment on that?
Well, if she isn't open to the kids being taken care of permanently by you guys, you do need to call Child Protective Services so that she doesn't have anything to do with them right. in her current state. She hasn't been able to do well with them. And, you know, you're not throwing her out on the street.
Right.
Salvation Army, all sorts of different right. places, City Mission. There right. are places that she can go
right.
when she's ready to get help.
And it's such a hard thing for families of folks who are struggling with addiction because it's over and over and over again, and you're exhausted and you're frustrated and you're irritated. And the hard part is because they're not well. They're just literally not well. They don't think right. They're not thinking straight. And from a right-thinking person, you know, you're like, why can't you see that this is wrong? And why can't you see? And it's just, it's futility. So you want to get them connected with the routine so that long term you have those stories. And we know those stories. People who were struggling with addiction and they're 20 plus years sober and living a whole different life. And that's what we want for her. Mm-hmm.
Glad that you called. Hope that something we've said has been helpful. Take Your Life Back. One of those amazing selling books that Dave and I wrote together. I think it could help her and you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to get a copy. JC, Champaign, Illinois. You watch on YouTube. How are you?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sure can.
Okay. Okay, hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question. So I want to know, how best do I respond to my husband when in the midst of an argument, I'm trying to get some clarity and to reach a conclusion, and he says things, hurtful things to me, and I humble myself, but then he says to me, don't try to back out of it. How do I resolve, how do I work through that? Because then he goes into silent mode and he does not speak to me for days. But then when I do something, I leave the house, don't come back for a couple of days, he gets upset. So how long have you? What's the best?
How long have you been married, JC?
I'm ashamed to say, 36 years.
That's awesome. Don't be ashamed of that. We get into old habits, and 36 years of old habits creates all kinds of fun. But we can help you with that.
When you go away, where do you go?
Oh, I went to one of my friends. I went a couple of hours away too because I wanted to go to a function, like a church function. But he wasn't talking to me.
I'm so sorry. That's pretty cruel when somebody goes silent. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. JC, are you still there?
I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere.
What do you do for your husband around the house? Just curious.
What I do for him? I do everything.
That's like what?
We share responsibilities. I do laundry. I cook. I help him. I'm good with language arts. So if I need to write letters for him, I do that. I pay bills.
Oh, man, that's something else.
I work.
I can't believe that he would stay silent. If you, when he went silent, you went paralyzed. And when he's silent, so here's how you shake this thing up that you've been doing for so long. When he turns silent, you turn still. You quit doing those letters. You quit doing that laundry. If he's not going to talk to you, why would you do the things he expects you to do? Because, see, it's a partnership, and you'd kind of like to have a little conversation. Or you'd like to at least be able to feel like he has any level of interaction with you. And when he doesn't, maybe if you weren't so wonderful to him, he might look up and say, what's this all about? And you would say, well, I think I finally realized our partnership isn't working. I'm doing all this for you, and all I expect is some respectful conversation, and you're not doing it. You go silent. So when you go silent, I go still.
Well, you're kind of doing that, JC, when you leave the house. So you are kind of doing
that.
But
I want her to stay there and make the point. Because obviously when she leaves,
but
he's...
I did.
Yeah.
She did? You did, JC?
You're absolutely right. This is what I want to say. I want to affirm what you just said because that's exactly what I did. And that's the text message I sent him when he sent me a text saying, you didn't have to tell me that you were gone and you weren't coming back, this, that, and the other. And I told him that I felt... unheard, I felt not appreciated, I felt abused. So I said, I'm not going to do laundry anymore, I'm not going to cook, I'm not going to do all of those things. You know,
what was his response? What was his response, JC?
He went back silent.
Yeah. So part of the reason he's going silent is because he literally doesn't have the language to respond. You guys need help in this communication gap. And I've been married 37 years myself, JC, and I was just talking about, you know, our intimacy and marriage workshop. I've learned so much through Mylan and Kay's description of how we all, you know, some of us are avoiders, some of us are pleasers, controllers, vacillators. You know, there's ways that we approach our relationship, how we connect with each other. And I would venture to say he's probably in the avoider category. And
right.
What you want from him, he doesn't have the ability at this point. Not that it's never going to be there. He just doesn't right now. So it's frustrating for everybody.
And I just want to throw this out there. What I was talking about really was not telling somebody you weren't going to do it, but it was stopping it and then getting the reaction there. And so, Alice, help her do something that might change things.
JC, I want to hear
but
two...
Can I say one thing?
No, I have a question for you. I want to hear two sources of your husband's pain. None of it justifies his treatment of you, but we need to understand. One source that's happened in your marriage from you, and another source that predated you.
Okay. What happened to me and my marriage? I'll say this. He went through a midlife crisis, okay? He wasn't like this before he went... Well, I take that back, too. Because he did have some baggage, like we all have baggage, but he did have some baggage from his childhood. He did definitely some baggage from the abuse of his childhood, and he has all this anger.
And tell me how you hurt him, even if it was unintentional. How did you hurt him?
How did I hurt him? Retaliating back at hurt. The only way that I knew how to hurt him from my childhood was to retaliate.
So I think he goes silent to protect himself. Even if you're not doing it anymore, I think it's the only way he knows to protect himself. When he is not silent, I ask you to point out that you know he is in pain and he might not know how to do it better than he's doing it now. And you know you've caused him pain. You've retaliated against him. And would he come to help, to therapy, for both of you to learn how to do this better? Because you want to love him better, but you also want to be loved better by him. How would he respond to that?
I admitted it. This is the thing. I admitted...
But tell me how he would respond, though.
Okay, this tip for tat. He does this. When I say, okay, I don't like when you tell me to shut up. I feel...
How would he respond to the invitation to therapy?
He says, well... You told me that before. You said that to me. I said, okay, well, if I said that to you, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You know, it was not intentional. And then he says, don't try to back out of it now. You know, so then I'm
right.
free. Because that's no matter what I do, I'm not winning.
Right. Okay, well, here's the thing, though, JC. Nobody's winning when you guys are in this kind of disturbance all the time. To answer Alice's question, have you sought therapy? Have you guys done any counseling about this at all?
Well, let me tell you what I've done. In 2014, we came to Washington, D.C. First person we met was actually Dr. Dave Stoop. Mm. We came to the marriage and counseling thing. Okay, and so we very good. It was awesome. He loved it. But you have to maintain it. There's some maintenance.
And JC, have you continued to get help since 2014? Because you're still...
I'm a chaplain. This is what I do. This is the work that I do. I'm a chaplain.
Being a chaplain is helping. Being a chaplain is helping other people. It's not getting the help that you still need for your tendency to retaliate against him. So
I have a therapist I do talk to. I do have, because after I pour out myself, I need to be filled up again. I get that. And so I do have someone that I talk to. But my husband, he's like a crisis type of person. He only goes to the therapist when it's a crisis instead of maintaining.
Steve's advice is to allow a crisis to take place when he mistreats you and to withdraw in order to protect your heart, with the hope that that crisis of your withdrawal will motivate your husband to try therapy again.
Well, and I would even take the route that it is a crisis. There's nothing that's not chaotic and crisis about this. And so I would just set up the appointments. If he was willing to go before, which is so much more than a lot of couples, just say, this is what we're doing. And if he chooses not to go, that's his choice. But I think it's really important for the two of you to continue in a marriage counseling setting where you're continuing to work on these communication processes. And because of your painful past, you can't connect. But I would, you know, that's where I would go with that.
Yes. And, you know, it is really, really important that in a kind of a stalemate situation, you look back and you say, things did go well when we went to the marriage thing. And if we can get there again, this time I'm not going to wait for 3 months of silence. The first time he pulls out of this, and that's just everybody. You know, if somebody goes every man's battle and they don't go to a meeting that week, that's when the crisis is, because it's telling you it's coming down the road.
Right.
And that's where you pull out all the stops, call the people, get help. Not after, you know, you've gone down that road 9 months. You must intervene quickly.
And we have to do something different. Like, and I think that that's what the problem is. We get stuck in these dynamics, and we just keep doing the same thing.
All right, I'm going to send you Soul of a Hero for him and for you. I think, you know, maybe I'll send you a Restoration Bible. It'd be a great time it's a great devotional Bible. I think you'll like it. And I'm really sorry for what you're having to go through.
And I would encourage you, JC, you guys come back to the workshop. It's a different workshop than when you were there in 2014.
All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, why don't we come here and help Maria from Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hi, Maria. How are you?
Hi, pretty good. I have a dilemma. My nephew died on May the 28th of this year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I had a very close relationship with him. But all three of my nephews had mental disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, By me having been a nurse, I would take my nephew on day passes. I had a very close relationship with him. All right. I need some advice from you all. Looking at this perspective from the Holy Spirit, from God's point of view, I need you all to give me some ideas as to how I can relate to my brother. Tomorrow, I have to go up to the funeral home to make all the funeral arrangements for my nephew. But I've been calling and calling and calling my brother.
Okay, we'll give you some help right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Maria. We had a few things we discussed at the break. And Alice, you want to start us off here with Maria? We do want to help you, Maria.
It would help us, Maria, to know a little bit more of the background. Is the brother you're talking about the father of the nephew that died?
No, it's my brother. So I've been trying to include my brother in all of the funeral arrangements. I'm doing my us to get his ideas and recommendations. But let me say this right quick. I have gone to my brother on numerous occasions to ask his forgiveness. I said, would you please find it within your heart to forgive me for things that I have done to hurt you, to wound you? You know what I'm saying? I've done that on numerous occasions, but I'm trying to get a biblical viewpoint of what God would have me to do, because I'm a minister of reconciliation. See what I'm saying? But I kind of get the impression that I need to face reality, and that is that my brother doesn't just want to be bothered. Not that
Maria,
I'm
would you
him.
Would
he
you name would you name the most hurtful thing you did to him?
What I name the most hurtful thing? I think when we were coming up, as with my other brother, I did not acknowledge. I feel like I came from a family where my parents put so much emphasis on it, on education, that they didn't see us as human beings. You see what I'm saying? And so I feel that my youngest brother feels that all his life he's been compared to my other siblings in regard to our
Maria, what was it, Maria, what was it that you did?
What did I do? Well, I don't really know as a child. I mean, we had our disagreements.
Then what were you asking forgiveness for? What if you didn't, what would that forgiveness be? Why would you ask?
Oh, I see your point of view.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm trying to clear the air. Maybe there are some things that I'm not aware of that I have done to offend my brother. That's why I was asking him for forgiveness.
Okay, so here's
maybe
the thing,
there's
Maria.
Some there's things I'm not aware of.
Right, but here's the thing. That's not for you to continue to push. What I would venture to say that you've done enough as far as the forgiveness thing. Like, you can only ask so much, and you need to let that rest. And now you need to learn how to connect with him on an adult level. And whether that's, you know, you begin with, you know, you send a birthday card when it's his birthday or whatever. But regarding the funeral thing, recognize that inviting him to be part of it and him accepting the invitation are two different things. If you continue to push towards him to participate and he doesn't want to, it's almost insult to injury. He doesn't want to. And I'm not saying that he's right for not responding to you and all of that kind of thing, but it's just, it's a dynamic that it's great that you are extending the invitation and that you are, you know, honoring that you have that connection. I'm still kind of figuring out, like, how did you get charged with setting up the funeral and all of that kind of thing? Whose child is this that passed away?
Okay, this is my brother, my oldest brother, who is deceased.
Okay.
He married
okay.
a woman that had mental illness, so all
okay.
three of the
oh,
nephews
boy.
Had
okay.
mental illness.
Well, Maria, here's some bad news. You know that romantic movie, He's Just Not That Into You?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about, you know...
Well, I never heard of it.
Well, it's about people that date, and you know, one thing to consider is that the boy you like, he's just not that into you. Well, another thing that is a reality, your brother just kind of, not on the romantic level, but he just may not really
want
to spend time
right.
with you or connect with you, and the best thing you could do, if that's true, is to accept that. So you're not frustrating
right.
yourself
right.
trying to get something from him he's
right.
not willing
right.
to give you.
Right.
So
well,
that's kind of cruel, it sounds like. But it could be really a way to To kind of let yourself go.
Right. And the great thing about that, Maria, is that then you begin your own healing and your acceptance of this is just our relationship. It's not what I want, and I wish I could make it better. I've extended that, and I'm open to any reconciliation if and when he would be willing to do that. And then I would just focus on this time of a celebration of life for this nephew that you cared for so very much. And sometimes in grief, we get confused about where our focus is. And I think that might be what's happening. Here.
Yeah.
Maria, I'm going to give you something tough for you to work on, but this is something you have power over and can get help with. You come at some of these situations with panic and urgency, and I think you live with a great deal of panic because life has been overwhelming with what you have had to take care of for your brother. And of course, you're in grief, but your urgency and your panic in your voice is probably overwhelming for some of the people around you, for your brother. And so looking at that and getting help for your panic, slowing down, will likely make it more inviting for your brother to re-enter a relationship with you.
Yeah, well, I think it's tough. I hope that you know that we're trying to just help you. Well, it's that old word, acceptance. Mm-hmm. And it really does provide us with a foundation of reality that we can live with. Mm-hmm. To continue to want something from someone they either can't or unwilling to give, well, that isn't going to help. It goes back to the old thing of trying harder just makes trying harder, because the more you are badgering someone, then the more difficult it is for them and for you.
Take Your Life Back would be good for
I'm going to send it to her. Take Your Life Back is coming your way. Now, let me talk to you for a second. We have some great needs here, financial needs. We've been so blessed with people that support us. We thank them so much. But Restore is coming up, and people support us because they went through Restore.
Well, you want to read this weekend. Testimony? It's actually going to happen tonight, and so you can be praying for it. But we had a woman that said, words cannot express what this weekend has meant to me. I've struggled for over 10 years with my husband's infidelities, which have left me broken and feeling worthless. Shelley and my group counselor made sense of all my insecurities and hurtful thoughts. I learned that what he did was not my fault. I see myself as God sees me, a woman of worth and loved beyond measure by God. This workshop went step by step and most importantly showed me biblically what God expects and wants for me. That alone is priceless. So, I just am, I'm grateful for all who participate through Club New Life. We have a new welcome gift if you want to join. That's got all kinds of great things, and we call it the Time with God.
We do.
And, any time that you hear us talk about workshops, you can know that people's lives are being changed for the better, forever. I mean, it's just amazing how we get that front row seat, and we want to thank everybody who participates in helping us make that difference.
I talked to a woman who, before Restore, was so angry and so bitter. It didn't really matter what her husband did. There was no potential for any kind of restoration. Well, Restore didn't relieve all that instantly.
Right.
But I would say 50%, and then she went to work, and it made all the difference in the world. It's a great place to begin to do some things that might feel impossible, and they are on your own, but we can help you with that. We've been doing this for a long time. We are always evaluating how we do it to make it better with every experience. If you have been hurt by a person who has a really, really horrible sexual integrity problem and you became the victim, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We can help you. Thank you, Dr. Alice Benton. Thank you, Becky Brown. And thanks to all of you who listen, watch, support us, pray for us. We really appreciate it and hope this is going to be a great weekend for you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.